and fun. It's Deshaun Watson Football Pro Camp. Visit watsoncamp.com today.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Only thing that can make this day better is ice cream.
Now, back to Walking Kelly.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones. Cause my heart ain't ready for the road.
Hour 3, Out of Bounds. Oh, man. I just hear Zach busting out laughing. Just busting out laughing. It's over Kelly's choice of rejoin music.
She's the worst, man. I love her, man.
Oh, man. Let's go to Mickey, who's now on hold, to give us his take on all this. He joins us right now. Before we tell you about live stream, we got to talk to Mickey. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, buddies. I hate it when other hosts call the shows, but I do it. I like when I do it when nobody else.
I understand.
And I might be in a bad cell. I don't want to take up too much time, but I'm fascinated by your conversation.
Okay.
Several things. Nothing makes me more mad than when the selfish baseball player today with the shift on has a ball low and away and tries to pull it. And I watched Brian McCann. I got so excited when Brian McCann signed the New York Yankees. I remember the press conference, his wife there. I was like, oh, my God, this is a long-term match behind the plate. Post Jorge Posada, this is going to be great. And then I watched him roll over to the short fielder over there with the second baseman playing in short right field and get thrown out because he's so slow over there. He refused to adjust. It's up to the hitters to adjust to the shifts. And it's selfish not to do otherwise. You're starting to see it more and more in college every night, aren't you, Carl?
Yes. My guys hit right to it. They do. They hit right to it. And that's why I say it's refreshing to see. And Grayson Bird's not the only one that does it, but that is a guy who was a dead pull hitter, who is now very consciously over a period of several games trying, when the ball is pitched away, to hit the ball the other way. And I just think that's a refreshing approach to have.
In a bad sell. I have two other quick points. One, when did we stop choking up and putting the ball in play?
I think Clemson's done that a lot more this year. But you're right. People have not been doing that very much lately. And I think part of it is the advanced analytics that say, you know, with two strikes, you still should put your best swing on the ball and try to hit bombs. And, I don't agree with that. Maybe I'm old school in that regard. I still like putting the ball in play, and I don't like sacrificing putting the ball in play for a strikeout if striking out means you might hit a home run tomorrow. Like, I don't see the benefit of that.
Carl, I was a very average baseball player at high school and American League level, okay? But I was about like you in your high school basketball days.
Yes.
We're so much better now that we get older.
Of course.
But I was embarrassed of a strikeout. It's like, if I grounded out, or if I flew out, if I popped out, you know, I was mad, I didn't like it. But, man, striking out was embarrassing. And now, you got guys that are striking out 150 times a year that win National Player Awards. I'm like, I don't know, man. Put the ball in play, there's a chance that the ball could be booted, he could throw it away, he could move some runners over. Some of these things happen. I don't understand that. Finally, this is one that drives me crazy. Again, I was a very average baseball player. I can never remember taking a third strike. Like, the idea of an umpire bringing you up, if it's close, I don't care if I got photo or ditched out. I mean, at least I might take some sort of feeble-minded hack at it. Yeah, to me, the most embarrassing thing is to let a close ball be called strike three. If it's head to toe, man, chalk to chalk, on strike two, man, I'm swinging. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to put something. But I'm not going to sit here and just watch a close ball go by.
I agree. I think modern hitters guess with two strikes more so than try to sit on a pitch and react. Like, you always heard the old adage, and I know it's much easier said than done. You always hear that adage, sit on the fastball, fight off the breaking ball. Sit on fastball, fight off the breaking ball. I feel like people are fooled by fastballs a lot because they're expecting breaking pitches with two strikes, and I don't know what that's about. I think sometimes hitters get in a bad headspace, too, where you're just so frazzled at the plate that it's like no matter what you do, you can't get on the same page with the pitcher. But I agree with you. I think you go down swinging. That's the way to go.
Hey, y'all are sounding great. I love the show. You and Zach make a great combination. I'll trade Zach for Kelly any day of the week.
Zach, how do you feel about this?
I'm going to stay with the morning show for now. We'll be fine there.
So Zach has exercised a no-trade clause.
Yeah, I got a no-movement clause.
Hey, I'm enjoying the show. You guys are great. Keep it up.
Thanks, Mickey. I appreciate it, my man. Thanks for the phone call there. That's good stuff. Really good stuff. Hey, this hour brought to you by our friends at Lightstream. If you've got credit card debt that is outrageous, then you probably have a credit card because the average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. That's crazy. So if you haven't looked at your interest rate lately, don't. Don't even worry about it. Instead, assume that you're really in a bad spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to do that. And refinance your high-interest credit card balance. Save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with autopay. The rate's fixed so it never goes up, never budges whatsoever. You can get a loan from anywhere $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees attached to it. And you can get your money as soon as the day you apply. When you got good credit, you deserve great service and a low-interest fixed-rate loan from Lightstream. That's lending uncomplicated. Get out from under debt. Do it in a manageable way. And do it with an experience that's fine. I mean, look, it's a good experience. It's an easy-to-navigate website. They make what could be a very painful process painless. And if you want to save even more, our listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get the discount is go to livestream.com/OOB. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/OOB. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply. Offer subject to change without notice. Visit livestream.com/OOB for more information. Let's go to Andrew in Greenville, who's up with us next. The Northern Communication phone line, 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Andrew?
How are we doing, Kamal?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
I'm good. I thought Mickey was for sure going to steal my point, but he didn't touch on too much golf, so nice. I really appreciate him looking out for me like that. All right, so comparing, I guess, where golf is now and where baseball is now, I think what golf has done to kind of pick up viewership is I think it's more technology-based. I mean, you see guys now, the average guy hits it, you know, 310 to 320 on tour, which is going to create better scoring, a lot more close shots. And people are going to gravitate towards that more than, I think, the rule changes. So what baseball is doing, I get trying to speed it up, but it's still, the core of baseball is still 9 innings, 182 games, I think it's 182 games, which I think is that's where they lose me. I mean, I have the attention span of a gnat. So after the first inning, if it's not like 7-6, I could care less. I play slow pitch softball, and it's like 10-11. That's why I'm there. I'm there for that. But until, I mean, I don't think they'll ever address that because there's too many purists. But I was listening to you and Mickey talk, and I was like, I have no idea what they're saying. Like, that was a straight baseball guy to baseball guy conversation. I was like, so come on, what? Like, what are we talking about? I mean, and I think that's where, to a new fan, you know, I think that's where baseball loses a lot of people.
You know what's interesting is that I'm with you on the length of games, and I'm with you on the just the attention span and all that. In fact, my favorite way to watch baseball now is two things. One, don't watch it. Listen on radio while you're doing something else. I think that's one thing that baseball has that other sports don't have. It's the beauty of a game on radio, which is why I love calling baseball so much. But the second thing is, I like to watch MLB Network when they go to the studio. They'll do it a lot of times with smaller schedules like Mondays and Thursdays, and they'll just bounce around from games and give commentary about the broader sport of baseball rather than being locked into two teams for 9 innings, 3 hours every night. Especially if my team's not playing, I love doing that. And that goes to your point, that you can change the viewership experience without changing the experience of the game for purists. That's what golf has done. That's what baseball needs to try to do.
Yeah, and you'll see that on the PGA Tour Live app. They always have, like last week at the Honda, it was like rounds 1 through 4, it was Ricky and whoever he was playing with. It was Rory and whoever he was playing with. JT and whoever he's playing with. This week it'll be Tiger and whoever he's playing with. So if you don't want to watch, you know, somebody like Molinari or anybody like that, you know, you can just watch who you want to watch and kind of forget about the rest of the tournament, which I think is really going to help the game as well.
Hey, speaking of Tiger, he's off to a par start. Is he winning this weekend?
By 10. It's not even close. But I'm telling you, when I get there tomorrow, he's going to sense me on the ground. So he's going to be like, oh, okay, that's the support I need. He's going to find some fairways. He's going to make some putts, and it's over.
And it's over.
Now, if he doesn't, Rory already fired like a -6, I think, one back. So if not, I mean, Rory's got it in the bag. No way he chokes again on a Sunday. No way he does that to me. I name my dog after the guy. There's no way he keeps breaking my heart. I just don't see it.
Does Rory the dog need a positive male presence while you're in Florida? I can go see him.
Absolutely you can. There's some yard work that needs to be done as well.
I was going to say, that seems like free labor attached to that, perhaps.
Yeah. And, Qual, you need to come call some softball games for Davis. I'm on that team,
phenomenal team coming back this year.
Yeah.
A lot of leadership. Looking to win the Church League for the second consecutive year. So that's where we'll be, man.
Very good. I'm sure I'll make my way out there, Andrew. I appreciate the phone call.
That's right. Yes,
thanks
sir.
Very much. I do. I have an affinity for watching church softball. I do. I've seen the Cops call up for church softball games.
I need to get on a team back.
There's some good stuff.
I need to find a team.
There's some good stuff. I think I can help you with that.
Please do.
You know, if you're willing to pay a small fee, I can get you hooked up with Nike or Adidas or some of these. You know.
Listen, let me just close the door here, and we'll have a conversation about this.
I know a guy who does college admissions who can really help you
is
out
that
with
right?
that. Yeah. Let's go to Gamecock Will, who's up with us next. What's up, Will?
What's up, Clark? How you doing, bro?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing a little better. You know, I'm going to preach it, Dave, quote.
All right.
So, bear with me. You know, I'm a Gamecock fan. Everybody knows that. You know, I'm glad, as a Gamecock fan, Clemson got beat yesterday. But, you know, I've been listening to everybody's show the last couple of days, and, you know, fire Brian Brandell, do this and do that. I mean, Brian Brandell, Clemson hadn't been to the tourney in a long time. Brad Brownell got him there last year in the third round. He basically got him there this year if they won yesterday. I mean, look at the four games they lost recently. I mean, two games NC State by one. Miami, last shot. North Carolina, last shot. I mean, you can't compare Brad Brownell to Dabo. I mean, I don't know why Clemson fans are doing all this stuff, but I mean, I like Brad Brownell. I mean, you got to respect the man. The man loves Clemson University. He'll fight for Clemson. His job is to put you in position to win the games. He put him in position to win the games. They got a senior-oriented ball club, and he don't go out there and play ball. He puts them in position. Clemson had the talent to win them four games. And the NCAA was online yesterday. They blew a 16-point lead. You can't blame Brad Brownell. So, Clemson fans, you say y'all in, be all in if you're going to be all in. Y'all got this major saying, all in. I mean, look at y'all ain't talked not one time about Amanda Butler. The woman took Clemson to the NCAA tournament for the first time since, what, 2002 quote? Something
yes.
like that. But, I mean, brag on the woman. I mean, Clemson's doing things now. I mean, they just won a national championship in football. I mean, they breezed through it because ACC is so weak. But Dabo, you know, he found a way to win. Amanda Butler's found a way to win. Brad Brownell's doing a good job. I mean, if you're going to be all in, be all in. If you ain't, like Paul yesterday, he ought to give up his tickets. But don't blame Brad Brownell. I mean, I like the man. Even though he's a Gamecock, I like Brad Brownell. So, lay off the man. That's all I got, Quote.
I appreciate it, Will. Thanks very much. From my way of thinking, we have said a lot of nice stuff about Amanda Butler. Who's ignoring what Amanda Butler's done women's basketball? And especially us, we call every game.
I was going to say, in this show, with the host calling every single game, they've brought it up a time or two on the airwaves. So I can't believe you're calling that show and saying, oh, you need to talk about her more. That's just it's not factual.
Also, If you're upset with men's basketball and you're not upset with women's basketball, it doesn't mean that you can't say both those things. Like, I'm consistently flabbergasted by people who think you got to, like, we have 24 hours a day to say a lot of stuff. Like, we need to be listening a lot, but we have a lot of time to talk. But people act like you can only say one thing. Like, if you say that Clemson did not execute well in the second half and that they should have executed better down the stretch and also the officiating was bad, that you have to pick one. You can be mad about men's basketball. You can be frustrated with Brownell and the coaching staff. You can be frustrated with Thomas or Reed or Mitchell or Sims or whoever you want to be frustrated with today and also be really excited about women's basketball and also be super excited that Clemson's main problem is why are they moving five stars to defense to be five-star defenders? Like, you can say all that stuff. We're capable of doing that, right? We don't have to pick one. We don't have to pick a lane on this.
Absolutely.
We can multitask a little bit. I do want to say, where'd the text go on the Helter text? And there it is from 803. Speaking of not knowing the baseball lingo, and I love this. We get to educate folks. What is a C&I single and a get me over pitch? All right, here's what I mean when I say both those things. A C&I single is a hit that basically just saw a hole and got through. It wasn't a hard hit ball. It wasn't a ball that was smashed over somebody's head. It was a ground ball through the hole, or what we call a Texas leaguer that drops between three people. Basically, just found the right spot on the field to be a base hit. That's what I mean when I say C&I single. And then a give me over pitch is like a 3-0 fastball that's got a little bit of velocity off of it that doesn't, you know, it's a pitch that's basically just designed to be a strike. What I call a get me over fastball or a get me over strike when I'm calling games. It's not a pitch that's supposed to get a swing and miss. It's not a pitch that's supposed to induce weak contact. It's just supposed to be a strike. Were those good explanations of those jargony terms of baseball?
Crystal clear explanations.
Crystal clear. Excellent. I love that. Any other thoughts on baseball from you? I know you were very opposed to this, all these rule changes and how far we need to go and all this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of a purist with the sport. Maybe I'm unwilling to bend to the rules of modern, you know, mindsets and modern attention spans, but it is what it is. You grow up with an attachment to it, and there's a nostalgia to it, isn't there? Right?
Yes.
There's a nostalgia
yes.
to it, and nostalgia is, for all intents and purposes, one of the most powerful drugs out there, so to speak. Right, it can make you do things that you don't need to be doing or shouldn't be doing, and it also can connect you to things and remember where you know you came from. For baseball, a lot of people, like we had a caller off air, baseball for her is sitting with her grandfather on a Saturday afternoon watching the New York Yankees or the Brooklyn Dodgers or listening to those games every Saturday afternoon, and that's a memory that a lot of people have across the country. And changing it at its core can alter those things, and people don't want those memories altered. They want them to be preserved for as pure and beautiful as they are.
Well, I understand that, and I do think there's a greater nostalgia tied to certain things that more than others.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know why that is. You don't get that sort of sense of nostalgia with basketball quite as much, except for things like I know a lot of folks feel very tied to the classic ACC tournament in Greensboro, where they say it's not the same now because some things have changed and the league's gotten bigger and all this stuff. So they've left the nostalgia behind and they progress forward, maybe into a better future, but it's a future and that's not what they remember. Football with, if Clemson built box seats over the hill, which mm-hmm. I don't know that they're not going to do that. I'm not saying they are. I'm not saying they're not.
Breaking news.
I'm not saying. I just think that's the next area to progress. There are going to be some people that don't like it, that understand it, but don't like it because it's the nostalgia of watching a team very clearly run down a hill instead of emerging from behind a glass wall or whatever the case may be. Nostalgia is a powerful thing. And I think with baseball, I think with golf, I think some with NASCAR, that those are things that tie people to the past. For whatever reason, I don't think football quite has that, although there's some of that. And I don't think basketball quite has that. I don't think hockey quite has that like those other sports. And I'm not really sure why that is. I think soccer has a little bit of nostalgia, but also here, soccer is seen as a progressive sport. So it doesn't have nostalgia here. It probably does around the world for some folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't really know. Do you have any qualms with my categorizing the sports there?
Hockey's kind of in the situation that baseball was, where I don't know how much hockey knowledge you have, so I'm going to be as brief and as simple as possible about this. In the late 90s and early 2000s, the game was a defensive-minded game. There was a trapping. I'm sure you've heard the term trapping
yes.
in hockey before.
That's when I was watching hockey more.
Right? And
yeah.
It was a much more physical game, a lot of hooking, pulling, grabbing, and the game wasn't as offensive, as sexy as a lot of people wanted it to be. They've since tried to take that out of the game and open it up completely. The equipment for goalies has gotten smaller. Hooking and grabbing and these big hits that have once dominated the sport and the landscape of the sport are disappearing from it because they want to open it up. So scoring is up, I think, something like 30% this year. And people are ecstatic about that because offense is fun. It's exciting to watch. So the NHL went away from something they've been stuck in forever and found a new way to kind of bring in new fans, and it's been successful so far. It'll be interesting to see if baseball can do it. I don't know that they can, to be completely honest with you.
You want to try to do what Andrew's saying golf did. Make it better for viewers, make it better for fans without changing what it means to people.
Absolutely.
And I think golf has done that. We'll see if baseball can do the same. All right, quick break. We'll come back. Let's rip on some NFL teams because Zags Giants need company, and they have it because not everybody has won free agency. Even though Zags team lost spectacularly, we're going to help them cope. Blah, blah, blah. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
Don't miss great savings on select 2018 Ford models at Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. Get between $3,000 and $4,000 off your best deal on remaining Ford Focuses, Fiestas, and Eco Sports, or 0% interest for 60 months. 2018 Ford F-150 4x4 XLT. Save $9,915 off your best deal. Stop by or visit EdwardsAutoSales.com and check out our certified pre-owned Fords. New 2019 Ford Rangers arriving daily at the best deal in Oconee County. Edwards Auto Sales.
If you're feeling cramped in your house or apartment and need more space to display all of your championship gear, then call me today, Jana Candler, with the Totes team at Berkshire Hathaway Seda & Joiner Realtors. I can help you find a great house to display all of your championship memorabilia. Call me today at 864-313-6990. That's 864-313-6990. And as always, go Tigers.
S.H. Carter Development, Inc. is a family-owned construction and demolition company located in Greenville, South Carolina. The last name of Carter is directly associated with quality construction, and with over 50 years of experience, S.H. Carter Development, Inc. strives daily to meet the expectations that are associated with the family name. S.H. Carter is a licensed general contracting firm that specializes in demolition and roll-off container rental in the upstate South Carolina area. S.H. Carter prides itself on honesty and integrity to achieve a high standard of work. S.H. Carter, Inc.
Join us at the third annual Big Splash Sales Event at Clemson Marina, extended through Saturday, March 16th. Start the boating season with the biggest boat sales event of the year, with discounts up to $3,000 off select Veranda luxury pontoons, Monterey sports boats, and Express fishing boats powered by Yamaha outboards. Talk with reps from Freedom Boat Club, a new concept in boating enjoyment on Lake Hartwell. Enjoy local vendors, a catfish fry from the grill, and kids entertainment, plus demo rides and giveaways the entire day. The third annual Big Splash Sales Event, Saturday, March 16th, 9 until 5. Your chance to save as much as $3,000 off select Veranda luxury pontoons, Monterey sports boats, and Express fishing boats, powered by Yamaha outboards. Mother Nature moved us to March 16th, 9 to 5 at Clemson Marina on Lake Hartwell. The third annual Big Splash Sales Event.
We're here at the Trane Heating and Air Conditioning Testing Facility to see how unstoppable their products really are.
All right, well, I don't like this one at all. Okay, inside this climate chamber, it's raining incredibly hard on this Trane AC unit. It's 5 to 6 inches of water an hour, actually. Apparently this room also does icy rain, but I'm definitely not sticking around for that. I'm completely soaked, but this machine doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. Clearly, it's hard to stop a train.
During the Train Unstoppable event, now through May 31st, buy a qualifying train system from Pittman Heating and Air and choose special financing for 48 months or up to a $1,000 trade-in allowance on a qualifying new train system. Visit PittmanAC.com or call 864-606-3769 for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions. That's PittmanAC.com, subject to credit approval. License number M1646.
Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
May our feet be swift. May our bats be mighty. May our balls be plentiful.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
This is how we do it.
We have another baseball jargon question from Dr. D. What does payoff pitch mean?
The payoff pitch.
Yeah. Please, I love the payoff pitch. Yeah. The payoff pitch is a 3-2 pitch. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's called a payoff pitch, ostensibly, is that it will either be a strikeout or a walk. Basically, it's where the at-bat pays off for either the pitcher or the hitter. That's why they call it the payoff pitch. Anytime I say the payoff pitch or the break-even pitch is a 2-2, or sometimes I use it on 1-1 where the count's even, where this pitch is either going to put it in the batter's favor or the pitcher's favor, the count in the game. Those are two jargony terms I use a lot.
It helps with the broadcast. It helps break up the monotony of it, right? Because it's the same thing over and over and over again in baseball. And finding a different way to say it is as simple as that. Just to keep it easy on the ears, keep it easy on yourself in the booth, I imagine. For sanity, sake.
If every time somebody came up, it was like the 0-1, the 1-1, the 1-2, the 2-2,
the 2-2,
the 3-2 pitch. I mean, like if that's what we did every time, it would be boring for me. And if it's boring for me, then I know it's boring for the people out there. So saying things like the count's 2-0 or two balls and nothing, two balls, no strikes, stuff like that, just it keeps my brain engaged too when I'm calling a game.
Engaged. The best one for me, the tale of a good play-by-play announcer, and I think you do a good job of this.
Thanks, Zach.
For baseball specifically, is the actual act of hitting. Swung on and hit. If that happens over and over and over again, I'm going to sleep, I'm taking a nap, and I'll wake up in the seventh or eighth. If it's, you know, it's knifed through the infield or it's ricocheted past third base, just these little verbs that are sprinkled throughout the broadcast help tremendously to just get you through, you know, inning by inning. Mike Emmerich does a fantastic job of that. If you ever listen to him call a baseball game or a hockey game itself, he does a great job of saying the same thing 400 different ways just to keep something different on the listener's ears.
It's the Vin Scully storytelling aspect of it, where not every swing is the same, not every pitch is the same. If every pitch is a unique part of the story, a unique story in and of itself, then you can tell it a different way. And to give the, you know, to basically say this pitch is different than the last one, which is going to be different than the next one, to treat it with that type of care, I think is a big deal. Yeah. And that's where I've listened to a lot of Reds. I think Marty Brenham does it. He uses smash a lot. He uses drive a lot. Mm-hmm. He uses belted a lot. Like, just to try to simulate the different ways that the ball jumps off the bat. And that helps you engage with, you know, that's different from he popped him up.
Yep.
You know, you can do a lot with voice inflection too, where you, you know, you can communicate a lot by the way that your voice goes.
Also, your color guy helps, right?
Yes. I know you're a big Bob Hulk fan. I know.
I love Bob Hulk. Bob Hulk gets so excited in the booth when things happen. He can't contain himself. And it adds to the broadcast. It really does. Because it'll be Kwok going nuts for it. Just absolutely crazy. And there's Mahone in the background. Yes! Dude, I didn't know that went over the air. Yeah, it's out there. Wait, this is my favorite one. I have it already. Just give me a second.
You try to find it. Can I?
This is Don Munson's call of Davidson's two-run home run. And at about the 7 or 8 second mark, you'll hear Bob Mahoney make his entrance. And it's my favorite thing in the world.
The 2-2. There is a swing and there is a drive. Back to deep right field. Gone.
Yes.
He loves it. And it's so good.
Yes. I also love this one. And I don't know if it comes across over the air, but like bases loaded, two outs. It's a 2-2 count or something. And a guy takes a strike three. And you hear this. And you got to listen really closely to what I'm going to say. You hear this. And it's just him. You know it's him dropping his.
Oh, yeah.
Like dropping his head below the microphone. And you can almost hear his voice go through the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
He does a great job.
Here's one that I actually got from a video game. Can of corn. Where did can of corn or ever so fly ball come from? I got this from, I think it was Matt Vasgersian and Buck Martinez on like MLB Baseball 2000. They talked about can of corn. I think it was Buck Martinez's voice.
Can of corn.
They talked about like in old grocery stores, they used to like have to knock cans off the top if people wanted them off the top shelf. And so a can of corn is a reference that came from basically how you stand under a can of corn waiting on it because you know when it's going to drop down. So when an outfielder is camped under a ball and he's just waiting on it, you can use can of corn. I do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's one I learned when I was younger from listening to people call video games.
Have you ever gotten the John Sterling approach for home runs?
It is high. It is far. It is gone.
And A-bomb from A-Rod. I hate it.
Where he's just singing.
And he rhymes everything. You know, a Stantonian bomb from Giancarlo. Get out of here, buddy.
I've never gone Hawk Harrelson either.
No?
You can't put it on the board. Yes! 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 Chris and Easy say you need to work that in. If it's like a big home run, he just keeps yelling yes. Yes! 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 Really annoying. I like the John Miller approach where he also is, I guess he's fluent in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So he'll like work in Spanish lingo too. And it's really good. He'll throw it. Oh, man, it's so good.
Oh, if you put a couple of Spanish words into the broadcast, that would blow some people's minds.
I do use en fuego sometimes.
Like not even anything that makes sense. like somebody rips a devil into the corner. Ah, el gato! screaming dog or cat on the broadcast. People like, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about.
Oh, man. This guy's just trying to get with the more Latin influences in the game.
How inclusive.
From the 803 says, a conversation in cheap seats last night. I guess about the can of corn.
That's what we're here for.
Wow, unbelievable. Hey, this hour, you know what else we're here for is to tell you that you can be one of the 10 million guys who've tried Harry's. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover for just $3, plus free shipping. I feel so neatly groomed. I did trim my beard, and I got a haircut. It feels nice. But also because of the Harry's shave. And even when I don't feel neatly groomed, if I just shave with Harry's, I can trick myself, just for a moment, to think that I'm in perfect shape. Harry's founders, tired of paying up for razors, overpriced and overdesigned, they knew a great shave doesn't come from these crazy gimmicks, but they've got a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. Their factory in Germany has been making blades for over 95 years. They've received over 20,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot and Google. Unbelievable what you get with Harry's. For a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code OOB at harrys.com. You get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover. Offer just $3 plus free shipping when you use code OOB at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. Use code OOB at checkout to claim your offer and tell them that we sent you because that's what you do. Brockmire. Have you seen Brockmire? Have you watched any of that? It's on Hulu.
Brockmire?
Season one. It's a guy who's like down on his luck, basically a drunk, like old play-by-play guy who starts calling for an indie league team. It is really vulgar. Do not watch it with anyone that you love or care about. Okay. They will look at you weird. Do not suggest it to anybody. But it is really, really good. Anyway, 654-ROAR is the number you want to join us on the North Communication phone line. 654-7627. The win last night, we didn't really talk about the win last night very much, but Coastal Carolina was coming off of a 4-4 tie in 11 innings on a neutral field in Seattle against the number one team in the country, Oregon State. A lineup with like six or seven guys hitting 320 or over. I mean, you're talking about a significantly difficult lineup to deal with. And yet Clemson was able, after the first two innings, Jackson Lindley, not his best day, but to his credit, he threw strikes. He wasn't walking a bunch of guys. He just got hit a little bit. Well, then you get Griffith, who gave you three strong innings out of the bullpen, an unearned run, the only strike against him. Weatherly, Jones, Spires. In the final seven innings of the game, Coastal Carolina had four hits in the first two innings. They had just five hits in the last seven innings with five walks and 14 strikeouts in seven innings. And again, the only unearned run. To keep that lineup at bay, really, really a difficult thing to do. Spires gets his fifth save. Owen Griffith gets his first win. And then Clemson, because they batted around in the first inning, and they chased the starter, Scott Kobos, after facing seven batters, were able to get to Coastal. These are two teams that, depending on what poll you use, as high as like top 12, this is a top 12 matchup in the world of college baseball. You don't normally get this type of midweek test if you're Clemson unless you're playing like Georgia or somebody. But honestly, this is the kind of one you put at the top of your resume. I mean, to me, this is up there with sweeping North Carolina. You follow that up with beating Coastal and then don't stub your toe this weekend against Notre Dame. It's incredible. This was the type of win that you could see the game. When they scored six, I was like, well, it's not over. And we kind of communicated that in the broadcast, Bob and I, last night. It's not over because they've scored double-digit runs in nine of their 16 games or 17 games so far. They're going to come back at you. They scored three in a second. We're like, all right, it's going to be 12-11. This thing's going forever. It's going to be 12-11. Instead, it became a pitcher's duel where the two bullpens really pitched very nicely, and Clemson was able to scratch a couple runs, and neither team scratched after five. Weird game, good resume game, good measuring stick game, I think, for both teams to see where they are in relation to other programs in the state. And it continues to beg the question, and Zach, I'll bring you in on this, because this is one I can't really square. Do we chalk a lot of what's happened in Clemson season up to they weren't tested until they played South Carolina, then they were tested, they failed. They played North Carolina. North Carolina hadn't been tested. They were tested and failed. And then Coastal Carolina's been traveling around forever and ever and 10,000 miles, whatever, and they're a little jet-lagged, although I think that theory's bogus because they scored 4 runs in the first 2 innings. And so they failed against Clemson. Or do we credit Clemson for bouncing back, and now this Clemson is the Clemson that we'll see going forward?
If you're looking through orange-colored glasses, this is a bounce-back team, a team that took one on the nose here in the beginning and found a way to win 4 straight now against highly-ranked opponents. That's orange-colored glasses, right? The other side is the dark, dark lens of failure all around. Nobody can do anything right. And I don't know that it's either one or the other. I think there's probably something to be said of, you know, little column A, little column B. But you'd like to lean forward to, or lean towards the first one, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Bounce back.
Well, I think so because you changed the rotation. And so you've shown an ability to make adjustments and a willingness to make adjustments. You've got a bunch of young guys that have come in, so they're going to have ups and downs. Clemson's going to have some downs. No question. There's going to be some downs. It's a long season, 56 games. Can you imagine how long 162 is when 56 seems long?
No.
Unbelievable. But the reality is that is what happens with a young team. And you just kind of ride the wave while you can. Got to play well this weekend. Let's go to Desmond before we hit our next break. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, Desmond?
I'm good. You guys?
Oh, we're doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Good to hear, man. I'm glad to hear that Tigers are winning some midweek games. I remember not too long ago that we was all upset that we couldn't win a game in the middle of the week. We were all saving all our games, and we would lose a midweek and win a weekend. But glad to hear that we're going in a good direction.
For sure.
You all probably know that old saying that black people don't watch NASCAR. Well, I watch NASCAR, or at least I used to, until they made all the changes. I like to be that I was a purist when it came to NASCAR. I enjoy seeing the tracks, cars going out there, but now they are, you can't even find NASCAR. You don't, they change the rules every, so they almost seem like they change them every week to every day. To the points, when they moved to making the points count for the wins, that was like a good thing. But now they do, if you run and lead the first 25 laps, you get a point for this, and you win this quadrant, and you're like, what are y'all doing here? It just kind of took away from the whole racing thing of it. And now now all the cars look alike, and you don't, it's not NASCAR anymore. It's just a whole bunch of people going around in circles. So, just let me get your thoughts. Go Tigers.
I appreciate it, Desmond. Thanks very much. Look, I've said that about NASCAR, that I used to watch a lot more, and now I don't, because I don't like the changes. I think the changes are made I'm not saying they shouldn't have made the changes. I mean, people were dying. Like, I think IndyCar racing is more fun, but IndyCar racing, people die. Like, I can't square that. It seems like an immoral position to take.
I mean, people die every day.
Right. Well, I know that, right? But I'm saying in race cars. NASCAR is basically making changes so people don't die.
They had Dale Earnhardt died. Who else died in NASCAR?
One of the Petties. Pettys?
He died on the track?
Like a son, yeah.
I don't recall.
It was in a practice round or something. Yeah, I remember. That was a while ago. It was right after Earnhardt, three or 4 years ago. I think it was a Petty. I might be wrong about that. It was one of the racing families had a young son that died.
Okay.
And so they made a lot of changes to make it safer, and people don't die anymore. And it's not as fun for me. And maybe that makes me a bad person.
That's quite the clip.
Right.
People don't die anymore. It's not as fun for me.
Boy, out of context. People going nuts with that.
Yikes.
Let's laugh at some NFL franchises when we come back. Stay with us. Final segment of the program is coming up next.
The Bojangler Fish Filet Sandwich is back at Bojangles. Get two for just $5.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Swinney.
You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
Join us at the third annual Big Splash Sales Event at Clemson Marina, extended through Saturday, March 16th. Start the boating season with the biggest boat sales event of the year, with discounts up to $3,000 off select Veranda luxury pontoons, Monterey sports boats, and Express fishing boats powered by Yamaha outboards. Talk with reps from Freedom Boat Club, a new concept in boating enjoyment on Lake Hartwell. Enjoy local vendors, a catfish fry from the grill, and kids entertainment, plus demo rides and giveaways the entire day. The third annual Big Splash Sales Event, Saturday, March 16th, 9 until 5. Your chance to save as much as $3,000 off select Veranda luxury pontoons, Monterey sports boats, and Express fishing boats, powered by Yamaha outboards. Mother Nature moved us to March 16th, 9 to 5 at Clemson Marina on Lake Hartwell. The third annual Big Splash Sales Event.
We're here at the Trane Heating and Air Conditioning Testing Facility to see how unstoppable their products really are.
All right, well, I don't like this one at all. Okay, inside this climate chamber, it's raining incredibly hard on this Trane AC unit. It's 5 to 6 inches of water an hour, actually. Apparently this room also does icy rain, but I'm definitely not sticking around for that. I'm completely soaked, but this machine doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. Clearly, it's hard to stop a train.
During the Train Unstoppable event, now through May 31st, buy a qualifying train system from Pittman Heating and Air and choose special financing for 48 months or up to a $1,000 trade-in allowance on a qualifying new train system. Visit PittmanAC.com or call 864-606-3769 for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions. That's PittmanAC.com, subject to credit approval. License number M1646.
Train, the most reliable heating and cooling brand.
Who's ready to travel? Spring means warmer weather, and warm weather means travel time. Why not travel on a set of Yokohama radial tires from Steve's Tire and Service in Easley? Steve's Tire and Service is going to be offering up to $100 mail-in rebate on Yokohama radial tires April 1st through 30th. The Avid family and the Geolander family are among this rebate, so get on over to Steve's Tire in Easley today. Call them at 859-1361 or check them out online, stscnow.com.
No rules, just out of bounds on 105.5. The Roar.
Hey, we discussed this. Now is not the time to mess with the plan.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Rocks! Kelly's going to be so mad that you played Roxanne. We were shamed into taking it off, and it just shows that Zach Orr can't be shamed.
No.
Unbelievable. It was Adam Petty, who died in a practice in New Hampshire
before Earnhardt.
After, like 04.
I think
it was 04. It might have been. I thought it was 04, but maybe that.
Google a dead guy.
Oh man. Oh, no.
This is terrible.
Oh, this is bad. It's 2000. Yeah, it was before. It was before.
Yeah, 2000.
Around the same time, yeah. For what reason, I thought it was in the 2000s. But anyway, yeah. So we'll just move on from that conversation. But yeah, it was.
Did you want to reiterate your 2000. Previous
statement? No, I don't think so. I feel like for some reason, there's going to be some. There's going to be some posterity to that one. I feel like it's just going to stick around. You know, when you talk for. You know, hours and hours and hours. You're bound to have some commentary.
Sure.
Rub some people the wrong way. And that one where basically I admitted to racing that puts people in greater danger is more fun as a spectator. That's something I'm going to have to live with. And I'm okay with that. In our final segment here, Clemson did have pro day and some folks did the bench press and stuff. I mean, it's going to come out that, listen, no one ever loses a pro day. Are we fair? Is that a fair assessment? Everyone, it's between whether you won the pro day or crushed it. I mean, you're not going to lose the pro day. Has anyone ever lost a pro day? where you're throwing against air in your building to your receivers with your coaches trying to make you look good?
No, those guys are Pro Bowlers at that point.
Right? Yeah, of course.
No one's ever lost a pro day.
I mean, Mike Tomlin was here, though, so there's got to be some. I think there were three head coaches here today.
Tomlin was here. Vrabel was here. I don't know who the other one was.
Yeah, I think it was one of the new guys.
Vrabel was working with Christian Wilkins one-on-one, if you saw that video.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I want to connect those dots.
Interesting. Interesting. Speaking of football, and I know you've been very down in the dumps with the Giants saying, we didn't sign Beckham to trade him for, I mean, not nothing, but not what Odell Beckham Jr. is worth.
Sure.
I heard your discussion with Mickey yesterday, and I thought it was fascinating, and I side with Mickey on this point. I think paying hurt guys a lot of money is really risky. And I think it's particularly risky when the team that has hurt guys doesn't want to pay them. It could mean that they're bad at their jobs, which I think is where you stand on Gettleman now in the anger phase of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to talk about the Jets and Le'Veon Bell because he's got some of those concerns, not just with sitting out all of last year and leaving like $30 million on the table and now trying to recoup that with a contract that doesn't exist. He's not going to ever recoup the money that he lost last year. That's just not going to happen. But he also has had an issue with missing games. He's been hurt a lot like Odell Beckham Jr. Very good, like tip top of the league, maybe the best at his position in the league when he's out there healthy. But health is a concern. So I will ask you, Zach Orr, and I'm going to try to persuade you in this direction. Without Odell Beckham Jr., would you rather have a healthy guy who's going to give you 16 games, 64 catches, 1,100 yards, and let's say 5 to 6 touchdowns? Or are you going to get the upside of Odell Beckham, who may miss 4 games for your team in a year, but it's going to get you 1,500 yards and 9 touchdowns? Which would you rather have, Zach Orr?
Listen, he missed all but 4 games in 2017, right? Which, funny enough, the injury in his ankle came against the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if people recall that.
Oh, interesting.
He missed, you talked about 4 last year. He played 16, 15, and then 12 in his rookie season. Let's throw the rookie season away because it's the first year in the NFL. You're getting used to the grind of the NFL.
Yes.
15 and 16, that's fine. That's a healthy wide receiver,
correct,
obviously. The year he missed, it's a broken ankle. That's a freak injury. And then the 12 games last year, there was rumors that he could have played if he had to. Right? He could have been out there if he needed to be out there. But they were a horrible team last year, and he wasn't needed out there, so why push this guy and possibly hurt him further? He is, without a doubt, a top 5 wide receiver in the NFL. You can't dispute the numbers say that. The Giants' win-loss record with him is better. He's a better player. He makes teams better around him. It's simple as that. To trade him, and not only to trade a guy who can get hurt and who has been hurt multiple times in his career, but to sign him to this huge contract, trade him for less than he's worth, and pay him money that is going to be dead money against your cap, it doesn't add up to me. If you knew you were going to trade him, you wanted him off the team because he's a distraction, which Gettleman at the Combine talked about, it's GM's job to make sure there's no distraction on this team so we're all pulling in the same direction. So you had that mindset. But instead you signed and paid him $21 million or whatever it is his signing bonus was. That's just going to sit there as dead money for him not to play for your team? It doesn't seem prudent.
I don't like the idea of dead money and you also don't get the upside of the guy.
It doesn't seem prudent.
I don't like that. I also don't like, in a vacuum, getting draft picks because you don't know that you're going to be able to replace him in a draft or free agency. But it sounds like Gettleman's got a whole, like he's got a basically a blow-it-up strategy of trying to like get better running the ball.
Why didn't we do it last year?
That's what I'm saying. You kept the charade going, trying to coexist with Barkley and with Beckham and with Eli and all the issues a year ago. I don't understand why you didn't go ahead and do it.
They were a better team at the end of the season in terms of cohesion when they decided to just go through Barkley and run the ball. That offense was better.
That may be what he's looking at.
And that's fine, but at some point in time, they're gonna put 9-10 guys in the box. We're going to throw the ball. And Sterling Shepard, as good a receiver as he is, hasn't exactly separated himself from the pack. I mean, Beckham has Beckham has 5,400 yards in his career and 44 touchdowns. The rest of the roster that's in the Giants organization right now has 6 career touchdowns. So, I mean, you tell me where that production is coming from.
I am not, because I don't know that it's coming from anywhere. I quite honestly just don't know. It is interesting, though, when you look at teams like the Jets. Okay, let's take the Jets, for instance. The Jets spent a lot of money on Le'Veon Bell. I see them as taking a similar risk to the Browns, except without the upside, because Bell didn't play at all last year. He's shown himself to be that much of a me-first guy.
Absolutely.
That much of a not-team guy. And you also did it in the same offseason where you tried to spend a lot of money on Anthony Barr, and he basically was like, nope, not doing it. I mean, think about that. They also released Isaiah Crowell because they thought that was a good investment to make. Wrong. I mean, you're talking about a franchise that has made woeful investments over time, significantly bad investments over time. That basically, this had no chance to work for the Jets, in my opinion. They're throwing a lot of money on Bell, who, again, is the same issues with Beckham, except more of a whiner and less of a team guy. Then he gave 5 years, $85 million to C.J. Mosley.
What I take exception with the comparison to OBJ, because if you recall during his sitting out last year, Bell and his teammates kind of had that weird back and forth, and Pittsburgh kind of rallied around the fact that we can do this without you.
That's true. Right? That's a good point, yeah.
And from every single report I've ever read, Odell Beckham was beloved by his teammates. They loved him.
That is true. So I think you don't have those kind of things.
It's the same in the sense that they draw a lot of ire from media and, unfortunately, you know, upper management. But the teammate support was drastically different, in my opinion, between those two players.
I think the Browns got more bringing in Beckham than the Jets did bringing in Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of my reason for bringing it up, because lest you think that your team lost the offseason the worst, the Jets have lost it the worst. Because now they're giving long-term contracts to guys who may or may not pan out, including Le'Veon Bell. There are other teams like the Chiefs who just traded Dee Ford and let Justin Houston walk from a defense that was not good at much except attacking.
Yeah.
What is that about? I don't understand that. They've actually, isn't your boy Steve Spagnuolo, isn't he the new DC there that's saying, we don't want these really good players because they don't fit my system?
Spags is up there.
How many times has that worked out ever? Mm. Not good. Mm. And then you got the Packers changing defenses, and they're basically like, all right, we're going to leave everybody. We're going to let everybody walk and also sign every marginal free agent we can think of to four-year contracts. So, lest you think that you're alone, Zach Orr, I want you to know that at least misery loves company, and you've got the Chiefs, who are making really, in my opinion, pretty short-sighted, pretty disastrous moves in terms of personnel on the defensive side. Basically, you had some weaknesses, you blew that up, and now you've just gotten rid of your strength. I don't know what that's about.
And on the back end, Eric Berry's gone. They released him.
And they released Eric Berry, who was going to cost him about $7.5 million. Mm-hmm. He was an availability guy, too, mm-hmm. where when he's out there, he's real good. When he's not, he's not. And then the Jets and Packers also. The 49ers have done some interesting stuff this offseason, too, but I wouldn't put them necessarily in that category.
There's something to be said for a young second-year quarterback having a running back behind him that can take a gigantic load of pressure off him, though. Le'Veon Bell's going to carry the ball 30-plus times a game.
He is, if he's healthy.
Yeah.
And if he's not healthy, do they have a backup plan? That doesn't involve overpaying a guy.
No, they just released Isaiah Crowell.
Right. So yeah. the Saints basically, I mean, their plan A is Alvin Kamara, but they also just paid Latavius Murray 4 years to be a backup. 4 years, like $18 million. To be a backup running back in a timeshare with Kamara. That seems like a long commitment where you could draft a guy in the fourth round to be your change of pace.
Because they let Mark Ingram go to Baltimore.
That's right. By the way, are the Ravens, is anybody remaking the roster more than the Ravens? Where everyone's like, this is how bad Ozzie Newsome sucks. And they're like, all the people gone. Bye. Terrell Suggs, you're out. You're with the Cardinals. Mosley, you're out. Everybody's gone.
That's what they're doing in New York. Every one of Jerry Peary's draft picks, aside from Eli, is almost gone. They have like six guys on the roster left from the Jerry Reese era. Everybody's gone.
Look, they're going to sink or swim with that. I like my Colts. They basically have re-signed their guys, Pierre Desir and Marcus Hunt, and then they got Devin Funchess. $10 million is a lot for Funchess. But look, he's got a better guy to throw to him than Carolina did with old body throw Cam.
Yeah, that's a rough throwing motion. But
is it? I feel like we did not talk nearly enough about how much it pained every person at watching Cam Newton try to throw a football and how the Panthers kept insisting he was fine.
How Cam Newton was shot putting a football for the entire season.
There has never been any person throw a football like that ever because it's not good.
It was brutal.
And they kept running him out there like everything was fine. It is the football equivalent of Markelle Fultz's free throw. It was. Texas says, I'll fight you over Cam. Don't bring Cam because he'd only be swinging with his left arm. His right shoulder doesn't work.
That thing's in a sling still, isn't it? Is he going to be ready for a training camp? He had another surgery.
They totally botched this all year, right?
Yeah.
It felt like the Panthers were not talking nearly enough about this. I know you hate Eli, but as God is my witness, I've never seen a quarterback that can't throw like this because of physical limitations. But at least Andrew Luck went to Sweden when his arm didn't work.
I don't love you bringing up Eli and physical limitations in the same sentence there. I don't need that.
Cam, legit, he needs to go to Scandinavia and get whatever it is that Andrew Luck did to his arm because he looks okay.
Get some cells injected in there, and then he's good to go.
I felt bad for him. He kept playing. I'd be like, all right, 3rd and 4, and I'd be like, oh, he's going long. But no, that's just his motion to throw a check down. He, like, rares back to throw it deep, and it's
that's just his motion to miss the 5-yard in route.
Oh, man.
Hey, buddy, it's been fun today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We had a very nuanced conversation about an emotional topic with Clemson basketball.